Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. This week's program is a little bit different. Now, for our listeners in the Asia Pacific region, you can still catch the 3 times daily 15-minute edition of the program with special reports looking at news in the region. But the weekly international edition that goes to partner stations around the world is slightly different, only because the team for this week and next week are taking some time off for the holiday season. So today we're actually presenting something a little bit different. Radio New Zealand International is one of our partner stations, and they do provide us with content. So today we're presenting a program from Radio New Zealand International. It's a weekly program that they have called World of Sport. Regular Focus Asia Pacific programming will return on the 29th of December. So, without further ado, here is World of Sport, produced and presented by Vinny Viley.
Talofa and welcome to the World in Sport. I'm Vinny Viley. This week, the World 7 Series is back, and the Cook Islands come out of the international netball wilderness. But first, Mate Maa Tonga bowed out of the Rugby League World Cup in controversial circumstances, but the team is determined that their efforts result in lasting change for the international game. The Kingdom was beaten 20 points to 18 by England in their sold-out semi-final in Auckland on Saturday, having been denied what appeared to be a match-winning try in the final play of the game. Head coach Christian Wolfe says the World Cup's been an incredible experience.
It's been an absolutely outstanding 6.5 weeks, to be honest. I actually made a comment last week that I didn't want to go home yet. I still feel the same way. That's a real credit to the people that we've got involved here, that, you know, after 6.5 weeks on the road together, everyone feels like they don't want to go home. Like they still want to keep doing something together. And we have had, you know, eyes on us, and, you know, we have had plenty of attention from the start of the competition, you know, on the back of a few guys that have decided to play for us. And it's obviously brought some pressure and certainly brought some expectation, but it's also been absolutely outstanding, the support level that we've had, the interest that we've had. It's been a big part of why the tournament's been such a great one for us, that's for sure.
Can that support, can that interest be sustained? And do these players want to stay with Mate Maa Tonga? Can this team get better?
Yeah, we can. I think the majority of those players who have decided to play for Tonga will play for Tonga in the future. Yeah, that's all provided, you know, that as a game we can give them something to stay with Tonga for. You know, as long as there's and there has been some conversations, and we need those conversations to now sort of become actions. But yeah, as long as we've got games going into the future, international games and games that, you know, I guess are of the standard that we, yeah, need them to be at now. Things have really changed, and not just for Tonga, but for all Pacific Island teams. You look at the quarterfinals of the World Cup, four of your teams are Pacific Islanders. You look at your final four, half of that are Pacific Island teams as well, in terms of us and Fiji. So as long as the International Rugby League and the NRL want to continue to harbour that, then those teams are going to continue to go forward. And you know, while there's games and while there's all the players feel like they're getting respected for playing for those countries, they'll continue to play, that's for sure.
Because at the moment you've got the Pacific Test, which has been going on for about 4 years and has been a raging success, and that continues next year. I think you're playing Toa Samoa again. The Four Nations has kind of been every couple of years, and, you know, 1 year it's a Northern Hemisphere team that joins the Big Three, if you will, and the next year it's a Southern Hemisphere team. Last time it was Samoa. So do you think tournaments like that need to be changed or updated, maybe? Because outside of that, there's kind of nothing, right?
No, that's right. They need to be updated. Pacific Test has been outstanding, but it also needs to be updated, and it's gone past what it was 4 or 5 years ago. When you look at, you know, ourselves, Fiji, Samoa, PNG, the growth of those four countries in particular, this World Cup, and the success and the competitiveness against the big nations that all four of those teams have had. We certainly need to be playing each other on a regular basis still, but we need to expand that Pacific Test, and then we also need to have the ability to play some Tier 1 nations at different times. And for me, an absolute no-brainer is that we as Tonga need to play New Zealand on a regular basis. So that game in Hamilton, for a pool game, absolutely outstanding as well, and that needs to become a regular game on a yearly basis, I think.
Can a match like that be played at Auckland every year, do you think? Do you think New Zealand receptive to that?
100%. If New Zealanders don't turn up, I know Tongans will. And I'm sure New Zealanders will as well. I think you get you play that at Mount Smart every year, and I think you get a similar crowd and a similar atmosphere to what we had on Saturday night. It's obvious it's a grudge match now on the back of this tournament. And, I'm very sure that New Zealand would love to play us and would love to get one back on us. And that's the way forward for Tonga Rugby League as well. The more we can play those quality games, and that's how we keep improving, so that we don't just fall short in a semi-final next time. We're actually able to win it.
Have those changes to the international eligibility rules, are they still allowing players that commit to Tonga to play Origin?
Yeah, so the rules became more flexible for your Tier 2 nations. So, technically, our guys, if they are eligible for Origin, can go back and play Origin. They can also go back and play for Australia and New Zealand if they wanted to, yes.
Are those discussions you've had with individual players, or is that still very much something that's just going to be, obviously there's indications or sort of feelings about being in this camp and being in this team for this tournament, but are those things that will be talked about more seriously down the line?
There has been discussions around that since the tournament's finished. And I won't sit here and name players and go through discussions, but the majority of those guys who made a decision they're going to play for Tonga have said that that's what they want to do in the future as well.
And Christian, you mentioned that you kind of don't feel like you want to go home, and a lot of the team feels the same way. I suppose the reality is a lot of Tongan supporters and people watching that game on Saturday probably think you shouldn't have gone home and that you probably should still be a part of this tournament. With a couple of days to reflect on that, how does that decision and everything sit with you?
It still sits the same as what it did after the game. Yeah, like a lot of other calls in that game, I think it was a real 50-50 in terms of what the video ref might have decided. I've seen that Tony Archer's come out and said that he supports the decision and thinks he got the right decision, but it is a 50-50, and under the pressure of the moment, those decisions can go either way. And there's plenty of other 50-50 calls in the game as well. If you think back to the Gareth Widdop trial when Andrew Fifita got his arm, or I thought clearly got his arm under the ball, and the referee actually said he thought it was a no try, and the video ref overrules that. And, that was very much a 50-50 decision as well. So, as I said, I saw the same of it after the game. I can't believe that the referee doesn't go to the video ref. I think that's a really poor error. Has a really big impact on the game. And if he goes to the video ref and the video ref says it's a no try, then we all accept that a little bit more, even though everyone's going to have opinions as to whether it was a try or not. You certainly expect that a little bit more, because the process has been the same as it has for every other opportunity that was a try in that game. And, as I said, I think that was a really poor decision by that referee, and I think it just left a really big question mark over the finish of what was a terrific game of footy and a terrific night and a terrific atmosphere.
You reckon a lot of those players are sticking around with Mata Mata Tonga, Christian Wolf? Are you sticking around?
Yeah, if Jason stays, I'll stay. No, look, I'm only joking there, but look, I am keen to hang around. I think we've really started something special here, and I think Tom is going to be a real force in rugby league in the future. And we've all got to remember there's other guys that that weren't available through injury and or have played for other nations that are Tom eligible as well. And I just think the future is really bright, and we've done something special here. We've changed the course of the game a little bit, and I certainly want to be a part of that going forward.
That's the Tonga Rugby League coach, Christian Wolf. Samoa is hoping for market improvements in the new World 7 Series, which kicks off in Dubai this week. The Manu finished a lowly 13th last season, with South Africa claiming the overall title from England and Fiji. And with a full pre-season behind them, coach Sir Gordon Titchens says expectations are much higher.
To do well in a World Series, you've got to get off to a good start. So we certainly have got a very, very tough pool. Probably the pool of death, really, if you look at all the pools. So it's a New Zealand first up, which is going to be a toughie, and USA and Argentina, so no easy games looking ahead.
Be it yourself or many of your fellow coaches over the last couple of years especially, it seems to feel like there isn't really such a thing as an easy game anymore on this series.
No, there isn't. There's no givens, and you've got to get out and perform in every game. And I've always said, to win tournaments, and you've got to play six finals, and that's what it's all about now. And you start with your very first final on day one, so you can't look too far ahead these days, and you respect every team that you play.
And how ready do you feel for this start of this new World Series? And it's obviously a pretty big year as well, because you've got Comm Games and you've got the World Cup as well at the end of it, or nearer to the end of it. How ready do you feel to start this season?
Yeah, it's one of the bigger years in Sevens rugby, and we're fortunate really there's not massive turnarounds in terms of the times between tournaments, and getting through injury free is going to be the biggest challenge in such a busy year with Comm Games and of course Rugby World Cup in San Francisco. But again, it's building towards those tournaments, but and excelling in the World Series, which if you do that and you play well, you'll certainly gather a lot of confidence moving through to those big events. And so yeah, it's an exciting year, but at the same time, it's going to be a challenging year.
Samoa struggled last year to make it out of that group stage into the Cup quarterfinals. Do you think that's something you guys are going to be able to do more regularly this season?
Obviously, last year I inherited lots of players, and I've actually gone out and sort of looked for a lot of newer players, if you like, to add competition to spots on the side, and looking to create and build depth. And I believe I've done that to a certain extent, and we've been to two tournaments already. I took two different sides, and they both acquitted themselves very, very well. And so out of both those teams, one for the Oceania tournament and one for the Silicon competition that we had in the States, both international tournaments, I basically halved it up, and I've got eight from one side and six from the other team. So, they're really pushing for spots. And with Samoa Rugby now, we've been allowed to contract players now, and I've got the ability to contract up to 24 players, and at the moment I've contracted 21, so I've still got three spots open for players that are wanting to make it in Sevens Rugby. So hopefully we're it's going to work for us. We've certainly started particularly well, and we're a lot fitter this year, and of course we've made some shifts in good directions and got some new youth in there as well, which always excites teams and provides lots of energy.
Yes, so how many new caps are there?
Probably this team, there's probably about six or seven new caps that weren't part of the World Series last year, on top of some of the new younger ones that had their first year in the World Series and are better for that experience. And I've also got some very good experienced players on the side that have been going very, very well, and Tila Milo and Alatasi Tapo, and of course Tomasi Alosio there, and I've got a couple of very good forwards that have forged their way back as well. So and Felominga Salisali is fully entrenched into sevens this year, so where last year he was sort of being pulled between 15s and sevens, and when that happens you don't quite get the best out of the players when you really need to.
This time last year you weren't quite, well you were with the team, but you weren't with the team, so to speak. So do you just feel like you've got your head around everything a bit more now? Does everything seem more like you want it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that first year or 9 months or so that I had with them, it was all about learning about the players, and obviously, which is really, really important, and it was at the same time still looking to build some depth in amongst the side. But I spent quite a bit of time on the island, and we've built quite a bit of depth off that island as well now, and knowing these players a lot better, and the style which they can adapt to, and I've had to sort of change a few things, and we're hitting our straps pretty good at the moment, and so I'm certainly hopefully looking for massive improvements, and certainly looking to sort of, I suppose our goal, if I was being realistic, is to hit that top eight this year, and that's a realistic goal.
Is it fair to say there's a lot more pressure on the team this year to do well?
Oh yeah, to do better. I think we saw way back in 2008 where Samoa was a dominant force in Sevens rugby, and unfortunately all those players disappeared off to the UK, and again, not having them contracted, you can't really hold on to them. So, but we've made some changes around high performance now, and we'd be disappointed if we don't improve, because I've certainly got some great expectations, and it's not about winning every tournament or winning a tournament. It's just being more consistent in our performances and just slowly push our way up that ladder.
And in the context of what's been a difficult period for Samoa's rugby union financially, etc., and what have you, being able to contract those players and whatnot, you know, is quite significant, as you say. So have you got everything at your disposal for your team, the Sevens team, to succeed amidst all that, you know, everything else that's going on?
In terms of the Sevens team, it is in Samoa all about the Sevens team, and not being disrespectful to the others, but you know, there's a lot of interest in the Sevens team this year, and of course it's an Olympic sport now, it's a Commonwealth Games sport, and also we've got a Rugby World Cup, and the island stops when the Sevens team start playing, and we're only really focused about our team and getting out there and performing, and for some of the players also, it's an opportunity to really, I suppose, deliver on the international field, I suppose, and a tournament where you can also expose yourself to go on to bigger and greater things, and perhaps for some of them it's an opportunity to really put their hand up to be a contender for their Rugby World Cup, you know, in 2019, I think it is. So, you know, some good challenges for some of those players as well.
That's the Samoa Sevens coach, Sir Gordon Titchens. After 2 years in the international wilderness, the Cook Islands netball team will compete in the Nations Cup tournament in Singapore next week. The Black Pearls last played a test at the 2015 Pacific Games in Papua New Guinea, and coach Dale Atkinson says they cannot wait to get back out on court.
Oh, look, amazing opportunity, and we wanted to go last year, but in favour of the under-21 campaign going to Botswana, which, you know, we fully supported because that's just about growth and development as well. Netball Cook Islands just couldn't afford to have both teams running and fund them. But, you know, there's a lack of sponsors. There's just a lack of funding, Vinny. So consequently, because of that, we've also lost our ranking. So we actually go into this Nations Cup with no ranking.
Yes, I was just having a look at the rankings, and you're not the only Pacific team. I think Vanuatu and Tonga are also currently off the rankings. You've got a rating and you just need to play 8 matches. So is that 8 from now, or you've already played some of them and you need to make up 8? Do you know which one?
No, we need to play 8. So we're only playing 5. So we've got to play another 3. And the next planned tournament, I suppose, is World Qualifiers in April of next year. And that's meant to be in Auckland after the Commonwealth Games.
With a 2-year gap, getting 5-6 games here plus World Qualifiers, I mean, it probably feels like a ginormous rush all of a sudden of matches.
Well, it does, and I mean, our ultimate goal was to try and qualify for World Champs, but, you know, that will be a real stretch. But, we'll certainly do our best. The girls have been, you know, they're really keen, and we've seen a lot of improvement in the development program that I put in place in 2015. We just haven't had those opportunities to be together. But I think, you know, as you said, I think there's other Pacific nations who are in a similar boat to us.
And so it's been a couple of years since you've played an international match. In terms of the squad that you've been able to select, and how many are new caps?
2 new caps to international netball at this level, but there's actually 8 new caps in terms of being in the national team. So Lucy Nicholas, who was the captain in 2015, she's back. Ashley Edo, Eddie Short was actually in the team in 2014, and Anna Salanoa was actually in the team in 2015 as well. So the rest of the girls are new to the national team, but some of those under 21s have got national, international caps in that respect.
And so with such a long break, what are you expecting over in Singapore? How do you think you can do?
Oh, $50 million question. You know, I've been studying some of the opposition, and countries like Hong Kong, who have very experienced players, because a lot of them are expat Kiwis or Australians. So I'm expecting them to be strong. Same with Singapore. Since Ruth Aiken has been there, they've put in some really good structures. And Natalie Milicic, who was coaching the BICO League for the Pulse, she's been appointed to that coach. So I'm expecting to see some real discipline from those two teams. In the other countries, I think we have as good a chance as anybody else.
That's the Cook Islands netball coach, Dale Atkinson. And that's the World in Sport for this week. I'm Vinnie Wiley. As always, thank you very much for listening.
Regular programming for Focus Asia Pacific will be returning on the 29th of December, and that's for those who are listening to this program, which is especially produced for our partner stations. To end off, some information about our archive service. PCJ Radio International has an archive service where we're archiving various programs from Radio Nederland.
Hello.
Hello.
Here's the Happy Station Show, calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across.
Hello. I'm Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Kiss it up.
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine when Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started this?
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station show, and for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that he had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJ Radio.
Paramaribo, 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 Paramaribo.
And that's for the archive section of PCJ Radio International, where we've been archiving some vintage Radio Netherlands programs. Anyway, I know that today's program has been a little bit different, but every year at this time, it is. Usually the last three shows that we do, we have our best of programming coming up at the end of the month. But the two leading up to Christmas usually are very different. I remember last year somebody saying, well, that's unusual. I've never heard that before. Well, we've been doing that since 2009. So anyway, if you want to get in touch with us to let us know how you heard the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is focus@pcjmedia.com. Once again, focus@pcjmedia.com. So, on behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you in 7 days' time. Goodbye.
We'll be right back.